seeing. Today is the 29th of December, 1985. We're at that in-between point in the year. We're between 2 years. The dawn of 1 year, the twilight of another. We're between two places. Neither here nor there. Almost not in 1 year or the other. In America, it's that week between Christmas and New Year's. A time when no one seems to be quite sure what they're doing. A good time to see, to practice seeing. Naturally, any time is a good time to practice seeing, but sometimes are better than others. Some places are better than others to practice seeing, to see. Some people are better at seeing than others. In the old days, of course, we called them, strangely enough, seers. People who had that special second sight, that ability to look where most people are simply afraid to look, on the other side of the universe, beyond the realm of the senses. What is seeing? Well, seeing is a direct, immediate knowledge of something. It does not imply any kind of judgment or moral system or philosophical outlook or religious viewpoint. Seeing is seeing. Right now I'm looking at a window as I'm talking, and I'm here in Massachusetts. There's a lovely big tree and a small forest, and there's snow on the ground. The sky is a very pale blue with wisps of white clouds. It's early afternoon. I see these things because they're there and I'm here. Now, I could decide that I don't like snow, or I could decide that it's the most wonderful thing there is. That's not seeing, that's reaction and interpretation. Emotion based upon conditioning. Maybe I've had pleasant experiences with the snow, maybe unpleasant experiences with the snow. Has nothing to do with seeing. I could decide that the woods back there would be great to knock down and build a nice housing development. I could think that from a conservationist point of view, that's the worst thing you could do. But that's not seeing. Now, if I saw that they were going to knock the woods down and build a development, that would be seeing. But being concerned about it one way or the other has nothing to do with seeing. Seeing is just direct vision, not, of course, physical vision. What is there to see? Well, to begin with, when you can see, of course, inside yourself. And you will see that you are not just one self or one person, but you are kind of a conglomerate. You're composed of many different selves. We like to think of ourselves as one continuous being. We're just one. But actually, we're many. Many aggregate selves are within you. Many different feelings, many different voices, many different personalities. If you could see more deeply than that, of course, you'd see that there's something beyond those selves, and that is light. Energy, power, nirvana, endless eternity. And that part of you is really networked with all things and all beings. It's not separate. The only separation exists within your own mind when you categorically, through thoughts, think I'm separate from everything out there or everything in there. That's just an idea. But if you can see, then, of course, there's no idea. You're part of all things, and all things are part of you. When you can see inside others. Obviously, you can see their thoughts, their ideas, see their plans. This is useful because their plans might be to injure you, their designs. Their plans might be to help you, and you don't really need the help. You can see those designs. Their plans might be to, who knows what they might be. You might be able to help them with their plans because you can see. Not that you can carry out their plans for them, but sometimes people don't even know what it is they want. And when you can see, of course, it's very apparent. They're trying to figure something out, and you can just stand there and say, hey, wait a second, I see what it is you're having difficulty with. They'll still have to do it. But you can lend clarity to someone's state of mind. That's why people, of course, used to go to seers. They realize that we live in a world that has a lot of confusion in it. It's hard to see in this particular plane. It's a relative plane that we live in, meaning that it's a place where everything changes all the time. Conditions are in a state of perpetual flux. It's getting harder and harder to see on our planet, much harder than it was, say, 1,000 years ago, let alone several million. In the days of Brave Atlantis, it was much easier to see. In the days of the ancient Egyptian civilization, or even 1,000 years ago, it was easier to see. Why? Well, primarily because there were less people on the Earth, for one thing. If you think of each person as a radio transmitter, and there were only a few million on the Earth not that long ago, each sending out a signal, a vibratory pattern. Oh, animals, plants, rocks, everything sends out a vibratory pattern, non-physical beings. But the ones that we are most affected by are the ones within our own cycle, human beings. Now there are billions, like McDonald's hamburgers, billions of people on the Earth. And so there are billions of frequencies on this tiny little planet, and they project the population of the Earth will double again in about 20 years and then double again. So it's getting harder and harder to see. It's also getting harder to see because the Earth is in a changing cycle. We're moving into a new age. We're moving into a mental age and leaving a physical age. Today, what determines personal power in the world is not how strong you are physically, as it was maybe 400 years ago, how many people you could beat, you would be the toughest guy or the strongest woman. But today it depends upon how smart you are. The mind is the strength of this era, so therefore we're moving from a very physical age, an age of physical consciousness and brute strength and survival, to an age of the mind. Now, an age of the mind is a complicated thing. On the one hand, we, you know, will applaud it and say, hey, this is great. Boy, our time has finally come. You're interested in psychic development, meditation, consciousness. So obviously your strength is the mind. So this is your time. What a great time for you. It's not as good a time, perhaps, in a certain way, for the person who just relies on their physical strength. So this is a great time for someone who's psychic. But of course, the mind is a complicated thing. Aye, it'd be true, you know, the mind is complicated. It is not only filled with the good and happy and cheerful thoughts. Aye, but the mind is where all the doubts reside. They hang out there. And they get together and have small parties. Aye, it's true. In the mind is confusion. In the mind is illumination. So in the age of the mind, we get a little bit of everything. Aye, that'd be the problem. The mind brings about all things. Everything is part of your mind. The mind contains all hopes, joys, and fears. Of course, when I say mind, I don't simply mean the physical mind that thinks. Mind. You know what I mean. Perception, awareness is mind. There are different levels of mind. How many of those levels do you see? Seeing enables you to understand what it is that you want, or just to see different parts of yourself. Seeing allows you to see the designs of others, it allows you to see, of course, into other universes, other dimensions, or even other physical universes. Seeing allows you to see the designs of the universe itself. The universe, the physical universe that you see, is only one aspect of mind. There are others. And everything that really happens here in the physical universe is caused by a certain template or design in other worlds, in other dimensions. When you can see those templates, well, it's just wonderful. It's wonderful to see them. They're extraordinarily beautiful. But also, of course, then you can know what there is to know. Seeing. How do you see? Well, the way you see is by stopping thought. Stopping thought is a kind of seeing, but it isn't all that it takes to see. Let's say that it's kind of a prerequisite. Certainly, slowing down thought helps. In other words, mental control. The reason you can't see is because your mind is filled with impressions and images, feelings, desires, and ideas. So a great deal of tranquility, and in my opinion, happiness, although some might differ with that, is required to see well. One of the first things you have to do on your way towards seeing is eliminate the thoughts and impressions and the conditioning that's been placed upon you by this world and by others from your mind. In other words, your mind is probably not very much your own mind. Your mind is really a reflection of other minds. Your mind has been conditioned. Okay, by that I mean that when you were born, your mind didn't work in a particular way. Oh, that which is you, which was born, which had other lives, in other worlds or in this world, had a certain awareness or attention. But the mind, the physical mind, was blank. Certain intuitive capacities are in the mind, certain archetypal feelings, racial history, the body knows things, stored in it through the DNA and the RNA are there. But the actual pathways of thought and impressions in the mind are clear. It's like a computer that hasn't been programmed. The hardware is there, but there's no software yet. Maybe there's an operating system, but no software, nothing to run yet. So, your mind is taught to think by whoever's around you as you grow up. Your mind learns to think and perceive, though, not simply physically. That is to say, most thinking, of course, is taught through language. Through language, we're taught a sense of values, good and bad. This is right, this is not right, do this, don't do this, this is a good action, this is an improper action. You might be taught physically, you were hit if they didn't like the way you behaved. You were rewarded if they liked the way you behaved. The dominant impression, of course, that's taught in this world is fear. Fear is the thing that moves people in our world most. We're taught to fear the unknown, to fear those who are bigger than we are, to fear those who are smarter than we are. We're taught to fear everything. We're taught through pain what not to do more than through love. Our governments tell us that if we don't behave in a certain way, they will lock us away. Fear. Fear is the dominant theme at this time in the evolution of this particular planet. It's the primary conditioning device, certainly not love. Love exists. But here we see a world of fear. Everyone's afraid of everyone else, of everything else. You adopt the fears of your parents or of those who raise you. The conditioning that's done is not simply done vis-a-vis language. Most of the conditioning actually occurs from a kind of psychic transfer. The mind of an infant, of a child, is very sensitive. And simply being around people, it will catch the impressions and thoughts that are passing through their mind and they will be recorded. It's kind of like when you are going to transfer information from one diskette to another in a computer. All we do is put a diskette that has the information that we want in slot A, and then we transfer it over to slot B to a blank diskette. We format it and transfer it. Well, that's really what happens. Your mind is a reflection of the minds that you've come into contact with, until, of course, you start to overcome negative and even positive conditioning, which is another story for another time. But in any case, in order to see properly, you've got to get everybody else's mind out of your mind. You have to kind of go out of your mind to come into your mind. And this is a process that's done over many years, a little at a time each day. It's not done all at once with a sudden burst of willpower. There are many sudden bursts of willpower along the way, but it's done a step at a time. That's how all great accomplishments really occur. Sometimes we see the last part of an accomplishment where it comes into manifestation. Dostoevsky writes The Brothers Karamazov. Shakespeare writes King Lear. Somebody designs a building, builds a supercomputer, whatever it might be. But the way they did that was by living their whole life. Everything in their life created a field of power or attention that one day allowed them to sit there, and maybe even they banged the book out in a month. But it wasn't that they did it a month. Their whole life is in that book or in that supercomputer. Your whole life is in everything that you do at every moment. The sum total of your personal power, of your attention, of your awareness, is what causes everything to happen. You can gain awareness, and to an extent you can lose it, just like a battery can gain a charge or it can lose a charge. Psychic development, of course, is the study of how you gain energy, gain power, gain awareness, gain knowledge, and move towards a conditionless condition that is neither above, below, within, or without, called enlightenment. Seeing is an integral part of doing all that. It's a skill that has to be developed, just like driving a car is a skill that you learn. Driving a car isn't essentially hard once you know how, is it? You take it for granted. But the first time you ever got in a car, it might have been a little bit complex. Flying an airplane isn't necessarily much harder. We have some more things to calculate. Seeing is similar to both, because there's a sense of movement in seeing. Seeing is not a passive experience necessarily. It has a certain volition, a movement to it. It has a sense of going someplace. That's why I compare it to flying or driving or even walking. Seeing means that there's a sense of destination, a sense of where you are now. We're taking points within an infinite universe and creating a mindset of a type, a kind of a geography, star map, points of reference. In order to see, you have to have points of reference. Well, what are the points of reference for seeing? Well, the ultimate point of reference is the level of your own attention or consciousness. In other words, seeing is to a certain degree based upon comparison. How do you know that your seeing today is more accurate than your seeing yesterday? In a relative world where everything changes all the time, it's hard to know. You could wake up today and not feel as well as you did a month ago, but not realize that, because consciousness is fluid, your awareness changes all the time, and there isn't necessarily a sense of how much it changes. We forget who and what we were an hour ago. When you can see, if, as I can, of course, or others who are seers can see, you can see how much people don't see. Naturally, all of us can only see as much as we can see, and we don't know what we don't see. So it's always good to assume, even if you think you're a pretty hot seer, that there might be some things you don't see. A little humility takes you a long way in seeing. Consciousness, as I said, changes. It moves. But it tends to forget where it was. You may remember where you were yesterday physically or the people you saw, but can you exactly define the state of mind you were in 5 years ago? How do you know that the state of mind that you're in now is vaster? Well, you need a comparison point. In navigation, or when you're driving your car, okay, but let's think of navigation. You're out there in the big ocean, and you can't see any land. How do you know which way to go? Well, naturally, you have to get a point of reference, a North Star, and you know where Southeast and West are. The sun setting in the west or rising in the east, something like that. You need points of reference in seeing, too. The points in reference in seeing, though, are a little different. They're not physical locations. The inner navigation is rather accomplished by a sense of association with awareness. By that I mean you have to be able to gauge what level your awareness is. Now, let's not assign levels. Some people like to think of awareness in levels. In other words, they want to make a list of the different levels of consciousness and stuff like that. I think that's an interesting practice, but it's just another idea. You can't really chart awareness in that way. I mean, you can give it names, but so what? They're just names you made up. That doesn't mean they're true. But you can tell, without having to name it, when your awareness is shifting. So what you need to do is, step one in learning to see, is to find yourself a few places of power. These are places where you will store and recollect shifts in your awareness. You'll map the ever-changing you. Now, a place of power, in my opinion, a good one, usually has no people around it or as few as possible. In other words, it's some land that still has some energy in it. It's not necessary to go thousands of miles to the top of a mountain in Tibet or way down to central Mexico to a little hill someplace. There are places of power everywhere in every community. It could be a park. And there's a little quiet spot in that park that just feels good to you. It's good to pick something that they're not going to build on. So it'll be there for a while. It's good to pick a spot in a nature conservancy or a park or something that's going to be around for a while. It's not free land that they're going to build on. You can still use that, but it's more of a hassle. Find yourself a nice little park or nature area or nature trail, but hopefully something that's, again, owned by the state or federal government or in some kind of private reserve, and it's going to be there. And go there. Have a couple. And just go there and sit for a while. And look at your life and look at the world and look at your awareness. Notice how you feel when you're there. What your awareness is like. Step outside of yourself for a moment and look. Are you happy? Is your life going well? Are you unhappy? What are your goals? You know, just sort of think about your life for half an hour. Walk around. Look at the trees. Look at the grass. Look at the snow. And then go. On with your life. Forget about it. Then you should try and come back to that place about every 6 months. Every 3 months, every month, every year, every 2 years. It depends. And only in that place will you really be able to tell whether you're seeing more or less clearly, whether your awareness is actually evolving or devolving. Because when you're out in the world among people, you can't tell. Because everyone is psychic, much more than human beings realize. Everybody is busy thinking almost everybody else's thoughts all the time. Just no one knows that because hardly anyone sees. But when you go to that little nature area for you, it's special. It's a special place for you. And you create a kind of a field of power for the short time that you're there and you're walking or sitting or whatever. For that short time, you're creating a field of power there. It's your spot. Other people may come and go there. That won't affect it being your spot, but it's definitely your spot because you've staked it out. And when you go there, you'll see your awareness. You'll see how much luminosity you have. You can be drained by others. They can act on you and drain your energy. You can be drained by the thoughts of others that enter you. You can be drained by your conditioning. There's so many things. And you can be drained so far that you don't realize you're being drained. It's happened to me at times. I think it happens to literally everyone on the path to knowledge. So the only way you can tell, the easiest way, is to go to your spot and see how you feel. And you will remember how you felt there before. See what I'm getting at? Normally you can't tell because you're so in the flux, you're so in change. But it's like going to nirvana for a brief vacation. You're stepping outside of the circle of your life and you're examining your awareness. It's like taking your pulse, going to the doctor and having a regular checkup. No one can do it for you, only you can do it. Oh, there's simple ways to clock your awareness. My favorite is the mirror. Mirrors are interesting things. Look in a mirror and don't just look at your face and think to yourself, gosh, I have more wrinkles, I have less, I look wonderful, I don't. Again, that's not seeing, that's interpretation based upon some kind of expectation or desire. Look at yourself in the mirror, meaning look at your awareness. Stand back from yourself and don't just look at the nose. Look at the total being. We call it scanning in occultism. Look at yourself and scan yourself without focusing very intently on your physical body. Gently let your eyes look over your whole being just for a minute or so. Sometimes it's good to do that once or twice a day, particularly after you've been through an experience you're trying to understand. You go out with a friend, you go to a movie, you come in from the office, you come in from hiking out in the power place, whatever it is, and take a look in the mirror. Don't wait too long, and you will see, because it's hard to know how you feel. It may sound ridiculous, but think of it this way. You get up in the morning, you meditate for 45 minutes, clear your thoughts, you're in a nice state of attention. Then you go out with a friend. Look at yourself in the mirror just before you go out. Don't be paranoid, just glance. Get a sense of your awareness. You've been meditating, you look good, you feel good. You're trying to determine what effect the person you are with has upon you. If they're a good manipulator, you may not know. Good manipulators can act upon us, take our energy and so on, and they can actually leave us feeling better, never realizing that we've been drained. If you look in the mirror when you come back and you look really terrible, well, guess what happened? You were drained, unless you yourself, of course, were doing something that would put you in a negative state of attention. On the other hand, you could meet someone who has a very positive effect on your life, and you might not like them. Or you might not like the experiences when you're around them. So at that point, the best thing to do is to, again, check in the mirror. See how you look. Scan yourself. Is there more light? Is there more energy in your face, in your eyes? Sometimes we can be going through a difficult time in life when we're not really happy in a way. We're struggling, but we look great. Our energy's up. That's what you're looking for. Not the immediate momentary happiness. That's wonderful. But we're looking for a continuous progression, a gaining of energy in your life. Naturally, your physical body as you get older will deteriorate. That has nothing to do with your awareness level, though. In other words, your body can get wrinkled because it doesn't have as much oil as it did because your glands don't produce as much. But that has nothing to do with your awareness. Your awareness can get stronger and more powerful, more energized, more illumined, provided, of course, you're leading a type of life that causes that to happen. It doesn't just happen. It's like cash flow. Money comes, money goes. We can save it, we can lose it. We can make more. Somebody can take it and steal it from us. Somebody can give us some. So it's the same with energy. And there's a science to the study of energy, which we call mysticism or occultism, synonymous words. There is a certain approach to self-discovery, to enlightenment, to life, through energy analysis. seeing is a large part of that process. If you can't see if someone is taking you money, taking your money, then of course it'll be gone. It's necessary to see. If you can't see that you have money that you didn't know about, forgotten bank accounts, if you can see where the gold is in the ground, then you'll know. So with energy, with parts of ourselves, it's the same thing. You need to be able to see to know these things. Seeing involves getting people out of your mind and sometimes out of your life. There are people around you, since this is the planet Earth and the operating mode of the planet Earth is fear, manipulation, domination, and control. That's what we see here. We see moments of self-giving and love. But if you see and you're not emotional and you don't want to play goody-goody and pretend that something is here that isn't, if you really see, you'll see that we live in a world of power. All worlds are not like this, not simply planets, but all dimensions. God is vast and infinite. This is one aspect of her being. He has many forms, countless forms. This world is one of them. Yet in this form, in this world, meaning the world. The world is a state of mind, like everything. Life is just a state of mind. That's what we're talking about, is your state of mind. Trying to see it for what it really is. And maybe change it. Changing your mind, like changing your clothes. Changing the place you live, changing directions, changing your mind. You can change your mind anytime you want to, no matter what anybody says. You just have to know how. It's not hard to learn how. You need to see, though. Seeing's the trick. A lot of people would like you to not see, because we live in a world that's on fear net, manipulation, domination, and control. If someone can cause you not to see by draining your energy, by making you feel ill, by keeping you hassled, then they can do all kinds of things. They can enter into your life. So it's necessary to see, to understand the designs of others. But people will feel when you're about to see, and that's when they'll get in an argument with you, and by drawing you into an argument, your power level will go down. They'll cloud you with emotions. The young woman is about to leave her husband. The young husband is about to leave his wife because he knows that something's going on that isn't right here. He's not happy. It just doesn't work. Say what you will. He or she wants out. That's when suddenly they become very romantic, kind, they bring you the present. They get you in an argument over something that doesn't really matter. Your energy is drained by that. They get you in long conversations. Avoid long conversations with people. They can act on you too much. Because those people can see, obviously, to a certain extent. They can read your thoughts. You've become too accessible to them. They can see inside you. Seeing can work two ways, remember. Someone can see inside you and know when you're about to make a big shift. And if you allow somebody to see inside you, since many people have what we would call from a certain perspective impure motives, what they would call from the predator's perspective most excellent motives, then they can see that shift that you're about to make and try and block it. And sometimes they can. Your whole life can be in slavery to others, and you never even knew it because you couldn't see. You didn't see the other possibilities your life could have. You see, in this world, there is the predator and there is the prey. And then there are magical beings. And there's not a whole lot in between. Oh, there are non-physical beings that have different volitions, and no volition sometimes. But in this world, there are those who seek power and energy and life force. Some of them are nicer than others, I suppose. Nice being an idea that we've evolved, having to do with goodness and partialities. But most are just predators. You have a cute kitten. From the coyote's point of view, it's a fine lunch. From your point of view, it's your cute kitten that you'll protect from any coyote. Who's right? You or the coyote or the kitten? Hard to say. Point of view, I suppose. A coyote doesn't think it's bad for having a fine lunch from your kitten. The kitten wouldn't like it too much. You wouldn't like it. Is the coyote wrong? Not from a coyote's point of view. Well, in this world, we see mostly coyotes on this planet. In this state of mind. The strong feed on the weak. The weak try and get together a whole bunch of weak and feed on someone who's strong. Then they're magical beings. Magical beings are people who have come to see and understand their totality. They can see the designs of others and avoid them. They live free. Their minds are unconditioned. They have power. They give power to others sometimes. They're free. They don't need to be predators because they've seen that there's more than enough energy and everything in the universe for everyone. But they still recognize that very few beings see that way or feel that way. So they live inaccessible lives where they avoid the negative designs of power of others and just enjoy how wonderful it is to be in this great universe, to be alive. What a magical thing it is. That's a great philosophy. It is true for magical beings. But the rest on this planet, coyotes. Coyotes can change. A coyote can go through a mystical change and become the roadrunner he chases, yes? Beep, beep. That's what a real smart coyote does. They figure this coyote biz is slow. The roadrunner has a better time. But most coyotes don't see it that way. So you need to learn to see, to even know that that possibility exists, and that's, of course, where meditation comes in. Stopping your thoughts and doing a systems analysis of your energy patterns, many topics, which I talk about on other tapes. But immediately, what can you do to improve your seeing? Well, naturally, practicing thought control. Thought control means that at least twice a day you sit down to meditate to stop thought. Practice gazing for, say, half an hour, twice a day, 45 minutes, 15 minutes. Start at 15, move to half an hour, go up to 45, even out at about an hour, after perhaps a year or two. Sitting there, learning how to practice the stopping of thought. There are lots of methods you can use. Loosely, we call it meditation, but there's both meditation and gazing, different practices. You start with concentration by sitting down and focusing on one point for half an hour or so, just looking at it, a dhadana, a yantra, a candle flame, whatever you want, pretty colored rock. You just look at it, blink when necessary, sit up nice and straight. When thoughts come in and out of your mind, you just ignore them. You just try and focus on that image more and more. After a while, you'll get good at it. Your mind will develop muscles, just like your body does when you exercise it. Take it slowly, have fun with it. Look in the mirror afterwards or before, and you'll see an amazing difference. You gain energy from doing it. That's where you get energy. You don't have to steal it from people. There's tons of it in the second attention. But you have to gain access to the second attention. So twice a day you practice that. Then what do you do during the day? Well, lots of things. There's two parts of your day, when you're awake, when you're asleep. Of course, the other part is when you're practicing gazing and meditation. That's your third part. So before you go to bed at night, practice dreaming. Give yourself a task in dreaming. Go visit someone. Go to your place. Think about your special place. That you would like to get to. Practice the one that Don Juan gave Carlos. Try and find your hands in your dreams and look at them and then look away and then look back. Gain some level of control. Think of a place you'd like to go, someone you'd like to meet, and think about that for a minute or two before you go to sleep. Don't get frustrated. It might take months or years. It took me years before I started to find my hands in my dreams. Or could go to places I wanted to. You're actually traveling. As you gain more control in your daily life, you'll see more control in your dreams. During the day, well, start scanning. See, look at people. Don't judge them, but look. Remember, they're going to present a front. But that isn't necessarily the way they really are. So during the day, look. Don't look for too long. You'll pick up too many energy patterns. Look at your thoughts. Ask yourself, are these thoughts my thoughts, or are they coming from someone else? How can you tell? Well, just say, is this the way I really feel in my heart? It might be. It might not. Take a good look at your parents or the people who you grew up with. Remember them. Remember, your mind is an impression of theirs, of your teachers that you had in school. Gradually begin to dig into yourself and ask yourself who and what you are. Probe yourself. Never be satisfied with any answers. Go to places of seeing. There are certain places that you'll find, if you want to, out in the wilderness that are places of seeing. Others are places of enlightenment. Others are places of renewal. Others are negative spots, of course, where your power can be drained. Trust your body the way it feels. It'll always tell you what's going on if you bother to listen to it. When you go to a place of seeing, it's easier to see. You'll know you found it because it's easier to see. Step back from life more and look at it. Investigate it. Ask questions about everything. Don't be afraid of anything. Eventually you'll be able to see beyond life and death, beyond time and space, beyond matter, and into the heart of life itself. You'll see your own luminosity, your own perfection, your own infiniteness, your own power, your own completion. Be around people who can see well. That's where you learn, of course. A lot of seeing is taught in the same way that you were taught not to see so correctly. The person who formatted you or the people who formatted you, parents, teachers, friends, TV shows, whatever it is that caused your mind to think the way it does, formatted the diskette one way. It can be reformatted if you meet a magical being, of course. If you get to be around one at all, just being around their energy patterns is helpful. They are other ways to see. There's not one way to see that's right. You just don't want to get stuck in any way. And being around a magical being is useful, if that's your fortune. If you store enough power, you'll meet one. They'll come into your life for a period of time and teach you a little bit about seeing, perhaps. And then you can continue practicing on your journey through time and space and eternity. Never be afraid to see anything. Life is wonderful. The universe is wonderful. But there are also beings that would view you as the coyote views the kitten. They'd be glad to eat your life force, your energy, and control your life. There's lots of them in this world. Don't be afraid of them. When you can see, you can easily outwit them. Put your time into seeing, meditating, and developing your mind. Your mind is everything. Devote your time to it. Keep your body healthy enough to give you a place to walk in and work on that mind. It's the best thing you have. Develop it. Don't be discouraged. If other people don't do it, it means nothing. You do it. Develop your psychic abilities. Develop your mind. Develop your attention. Become strong. And you'll have a wonderful life. So this is Rama wishing you well in your seeing.